This is the In the Black Podcast.
In the Black, bro. Hands down, one of the best podcasts I ever heard, though.
All right, man, so check this out. One of my homies, man, he's on the outs with his family, man. He's on the outs with his family big time.
Oh, shit.
So maybe a couple of months ago, his nana.
I don't understand why you're laughing at this. I don't understand why you're already chuckling at this person's plight. Aren't you the Christian on this show?
A couple of months ago, my homie, he was watching his nan, staying with his nan. His grandmother came over. And he left the house to go run some errands. And he said, "Nana, if you can, while you're here at this time, if I'm not back, I need you to go walk my dog." Now, his dog is an Alaskan Malamute. So this dog is like huge. It looks like a fucking bear, right? So
well, he was trying to get out of this. It's a big dog. He was trying to get out of the family.
Listen, and the dog is huge. The dog is huge, yes. Huge. Like it looks like a grown man in a fucking bear suit. That's how big the dog is, right? So Nan says, "Okay, I'm going to walk this dog. My grandson is not back yet." And as she's walking him out the street, the dog, because there's a new handler, doesn't know Nan and all that other stuff, sees a squirrel or another dog and essentially pulls Nan and drags her like two blocks down the hunker street. Nan is just trying to stop the dog, and this dog is literally dragging her like several blocks down the street. Her little dress is all ripped up and around her ankles, and some pantyhose, all exposed.
You are going all the way to hell. Like,
listen. So she's getting dragged, and mind you, it's not dragged. It's not dragged like as she's going. It's dragged on her way back coming to the house. So what does he see? He's pulling up to the house. He's hearing noises as he's pulling up to the driving down the street. And he's like, "What is that noise?" So he pulls up, parks in his driveway, only to see his Nan getting pulled down the street by this huge ass dog. So Nan did get, I shouldn't be laughing, Nan did get injured. She went to the hospital. They took care of her, all this other stuff. And when they finally released her from the hospital, he had pictures waiting for her in the house after the aftermath as a joke.
Yeah, pictures.
As a joke to like, you know, "Nan, you back, you all right," or whatever, and had pictures after the incident, like of her and her torn dress and pantyhose and stuff like that up. Only for his mom to see these pictures, his family to be aware of the pictures. And they gave him the business. So basically they were like, "She is never allowed to come to your house. Keep you and your dog away from all family functions."
Is this your cousin? Are you guys related? That sounds like some shit that you would do.
No, it's not. I love my Nan anymore.
Like, was he trying to get out?
Because
there's faster ways to getting out, my guy. You ain't got to kill Nan to get out. Damn, just leave, my guy. Shit. Nan got two new hips, a knee replacement, and new dentures from this two block.
Listen, this was his argument, though. His argument was basically like, "It's only funny now because we know she's back and she's okay. So we can laugh about the situation." So that's his argument to his family. Now, mind you, the only person that's been silent in this whole situation is Nan. Nan has not said a word. She hasn't spoken to him, hasn't sided with him. But everybody else basically is like, "Nah, you on the outs right now for as long as we could possibly keep you on the fucking outs."
Yeah, you deserve that one, my guy.
No bullshit.
What the fuck he was thinking, my guy.
Listen. Yes. Welcome. What's up? What is up? Back once again. It is the Incredible In the Black Podcast. And in case you weren't aware, this is a podcast dedicated to covering the current events and social issues going on in your black world and covering it all from the perspective of three grown ass men who know not to let their grandmothers walk their big ass dogs. I am your host, Big O, Mr. In the Black himself, but you know I can never do this alone. Let me introduce the rest of my pet walking crew. Crush, say what's up.
Yes, indeed, sir. Good evening, everybody. It's good to be back.
No doubt. Al, say what's up, man.
Bro, there's something fucking wrong with you and your friends and your family.
Except don't put mama. My family in it. I said this is my old boy. What the hell does that have to do with
your mom and your wife, two people who I love dearly.
Whatever, man. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, finesse that motherfucker. Yeah. It goes a long way. It's free. Feed the algorithm. If you really want to become part of the family, come on over to our Patreon. You will not regret it. And you can always follow us across social media at In The Black PDCST on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram, and all those other places where you tend to shenaniganize and waste tons of time as you scroll and scroll and scroll. So we've been back for a while, but you know we come back with heavy news. There is a recent story. I don't know if either one of you have heard about it. In Missouri, a young man in 2021 by the name of Durante Martin. Durante Martin was a budding football player in high school. Mm-hmm. Was on his way to go to college and possibly play ball at college. And he was convinced, for lack of a better description, by associates to go to a party.
Suspicion was right all along. Their loved one did not die by suicide. That initial cause of death by the Madison County Sheriff's Office was overturned after an inquest this morning.
The case of Durante Martin has left the family furious with the local sheriff's office.
It took a jury of six about 2 hours to determine Durante Martin's death was no suicide.
I feel rejoiced. I am so glad. I am happy. If they seen through all their lies, and they saw the truth that my baby did not kill herself.
The prosecutor, coroner, and investigators involved in this proceeding wouldn't go on camera, but the Madison County prosecutor told the I-team he asks for coroner's inquests when there are questions about how someone died. It's a proceeding that happens in counties that don't have medical examiners. There's no question Durante Martin died from a gunshot wound to his left temple, but the jurors in this case, which included one black man, one white man, and four white women, had to determine today how it happened. Was it by suicide? Was it by accident? Was it natural causes? Or by violence? A total of 26 witnesses were called, including James Wade, who owns the home where the shooting happened. Durante was there for Wade's daughter's 18th birthday party. Jurors also heard from paramedics, highway patrol investigators, and Madison County deputies. Troopers and the county's pathologist said they believed it was a suicide. The verdict means the investigation is not over. With enough evidence, prosecutors could still charge someone in Durante's death.
Despite the jury's decision, investigators say the homeowner where the shooting happened passed a polygraph. He testified he didn't know who shot Martin. They also still believe Martin died of a gunshot wound, and a forensic pathologist agreed.
He shows up, and this is in the rural part of Missouri where this party was being held for a quote-unquote associate's sister. He gets to the party. Durante is the only black person at the party.
Red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag,
facts.
Red flag,
fucking facts.
Red
fucking,
fucking
facts.
Flag.
A few hours, or no, a day or two after the party, Mr. James Wade calls police and said that he had discovered Durante's body in his attic with a gunshot wound to the temple. This is his home. That he had discovered Durante's body in his attic with a gunshot wound to the temple. Here's the part where it gets even more tricky, salacious, foolish, if you will. Police arrived at this man's home within minutes, clean up the scene essentially before the paramedics arrive. The paramedics arrive and take away Durante's body, and in less than 48 hours, a coroner, local coroner, declares that the death was by suicide. Declares that the death was by suicide. Now, here's a little tidbit for you. Durante had surgery on his dominant hand, his right hand. If you are going to do anything, even if you're going to commit suicide, you would do it with your dominant hand, right? I'm assuming. Durante has a cast on his arm from hand all the way down to elbow. So it would be very difficult for him to use a weapon to commit suicide with. The police automatically, like I said, immediately, less than 48 hours, declared that it was a suicide. The family then has to scrounge together money to find a second coroner to give a second opinion to explain what is going on. And that coroner says, nah, this is ridiculous. This is not suicide. This was fucking caused by violence of some sort. Here's one last tidbit of news, man, or I guess a piece of it. Durante is not the first.
Nope.
Or the second. Or the he is the third such person to allegedly commit suicide in Mr. James Wade's house. Mind you, like I said, this happened in 2021. We are almost three years, I guess, later. And nobody has been arrested. Not one person. Even with all this evidence that's circulating about Mr. Wade. And one more tidbit. I'm sorry. He is locally known. Mr. Wade is locally known as a white supremacist. He has no direct affiliations, public affiliations with groups. But everyone in the community knows that this dude is about that life.
He's and also had white supremacist regalia hanging up in his home.
In his home, that's correct.
He was known for posting racist white supremacist rhetoric on social media.
Indeed.
He is indeed a white racist who killed a young black male in his home. In a town, in a city where he is known for his behavior, and those race soldiers came in and covered up the mess.
One of the largest parts about this, though, at this point, is that representative, because it seems as though the family and others have been begging the federal government to intervene and find out what's going on. This is past, like I said, going on almost 3 years at this point where no one has been arrested. So, and I know Elgin gets his butt hairs in a bunch anytime we mention her name, but the only person that seems to be talking about this in the halls of Congress is Cori Bush. And she's been pushing to try and get, Merrick Garland to do what he's supposed to do and come down to Missouri and start investigating this shit. I'm at a loss, to be very honest with you, man. This whole thing has got me torn the fuck up. I can't understand, even with all the evidence that they currently have, even with everything that's going on, even with now public light being shown on this story, that there still isn't anything being done. But once again, this is America. Maybe I shouldn't be as surprised as I am.
I'm telling you, man, once we get as a people get to a point where we realize that there is literally only one way of slowing down or ending these acts of violence, things will begin to change. When we start matching bodies, things might just
gonna
get
this city's gonna, I mean, I will say this. I initially was against the way of thinking, right? But things gonna have to burn down, my guy. One of my homeboys said a long time ago to me, man, and it had pertaining to my job, and I was busting my ass doing X, Y, and Z, and I was by myself, and shit was just moving because I was making it move. Right? And he said, people don't recognize the shit is broken until you let them know the shit is broken.
Fucking broken.
Then they're going to be ready to fix it. And I think at this point, that's the
city. Bro, ain't no way. Really, and again, this is not to be disparaging against this family at all.
Right, right.
In any shape or form, my upcoming comments. There's no way in hell that my 19-year-old goes into a known racist white supremacist home and doesn't come out alive, and there's not an act of violence of some sort as a retort. There has to be something that is, and again, that doesn't mean that this white supremacist dies or is harmed, but there has to be some sort of response, man. My 19-year-old son? Oh, no, Q Biggie.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, yeah. I just think about, I think about the reactions, my parents have had to the idea of my sister and I being in any kind of danger, and I can't imagine anything on this planet cowing or dominating the rage of a
the righteous fury that your parents bring.
There's nothing on this planet that will put that much fear into me to not want to break your face wide open for killing my child.
Righteous fury, like that's why I'm just like
I don't know any father on earth that's going to sit there
or mother for that instance.
Listen, and be like, okay, I'm cool. Let's just kumbaya this shit.
Right.
You know, I'm just gonna be patient and be and roll with this shit.
Like the time
to roll with it is way past. Like
you're way past that.
You know, like a different kind of response is needed. A very drastic kind of response is needed.
We have examined and exhibited every possible response as a form of solution to these things. We've dreamt big to the point of having a black president. We've got to a place where we've been able to sue police departments and get, you know, settlements. We've gotten some arrested. We've done everything within the scope of their paradigm, their system, their methodology. And it still is not stopping. Now let's move to a place where private citizens are now the ones who are committing these heinous acts more than the quote unquote public servants, right? Knocking on doors and, you know, cars and birthday parties and shit like this. I mean, again, I don't know what it's going to take for us to begin to think more outside of that box to create solutions to prevent and to reap justice for the lives that we've lost in that capacity.
You're right about that.
Because if I would have read it on the news following this, that, you know, the father or the mother immediately went to the house and shot this man, I'd be like, oh, well, hey, listen, man.
Wouldn't have been mad.
Hey, what do you expect? What do you expect?
Because he called. If you listen to the 911 call, it is one of the most eerie things that you will ever hear, because I've never heard someone be that calm
about saying you found the body of a young man in your attic.
Of a little boy, 19 years old, is very much still a child. Hey, I think somebody just shot themselves or committed suicide here. In a very calm, even kill, evil tone.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. You're right about that.
I mean, only, you know, that kind of callousness is bred into you.
That's who he was, man. Folks knew who he was.
He's a serial killer. He's a damn serial killer.
Yeah.
Like, where's the freaking FBI? You
know what I'm saying? Like I said, the third person to allegedly commit suicide.
Like, let a fourth pop
on
up.
On his property.
Let a fourth pop up. Let a fourth pop up. Y'all gonna have a real problem.
We don't need a fourth.
Y'all gonna have a real problem.
We got three.
We got three already.
We got three already, man.
I have a bad feeling. I have a bad feeling it won't stop. I have a bad feeling it won't stop. We still have the holidays.
Yeah. All right, L, what you got on deck for us next, man?
Man, I know hopefully during this month of Black August commemorating political prisoners across the globe, that folks, black folks specifically, are aware of what is taking place on the continent. Currently on the continent, that would be the only continent of any substance to black folks, would be Africa. There was a coup last week in Niger where the folks in Niger ousted the president there.
A man who goes by the name of General Omar Tchani says that he is now in control of the country. Tchani is head of the Presidential Guard, and 1 week ago, members of the Guard detained President Mohamed Bazoum, surrounded him in his house in the capital, and have still not released him. Bazoum, however, has yet to resign. There is immense international and regional pressure to release Bazoum and reinstate him. Several days ago, the West African regional bloc known as ECOWAS said that they were putting intense sanctions on Niger and threatened to use force if Bazoum was not reinstated within 1 week's time, which would bring us to August 6th. locals in the capital, some people are in support of Bazoum and have organized protests in favor of the president. However, others are for the new coup leaders and are supporting them and are organizing anti-French protests. And they are waving Russian flags, saying that they want new partners such as Russia and the mercenary group that Russia has been working with.
The Niger people got fed up and they ousted this president, and there has been the exact opposite of pandemonium in the streets. There has been a calm, a peace. There has been a desire for these folks to stay in positions of power. But at the same time, you're seeing a number of responses from folks around the globe, particularly, you know, here in America. But some things, when people begin to look at the story, is the relationship between Niger and France, right? Is one of, listen, a phenomenal book that people haven't read by now is Walter Rodney's How Europe Underdeveloped Africa. Phenomenal. It explains clearly how African continent was colonized by all of these different European countries. Within Niger specifically, Niger's two chief resources are uranium and gold, right? France uses the uranium to power their country while the people in Niger are without power. So I think the one thing that I read was like, one in three gets their power in France from people in Niger, and it's like one in eight people in Niger who actually have power. So while the actual source for the power is in Niger, it was pushed and stolen by the French government via this particular president that was ousted. But that's not even only the fascinating part about this story. There's a number of countries around Niger who are, A, supporting Niger and making it clear that if anyone attempts any sort of military intervention, they're going to have to go through them. Yep. But also there's a number of countries that still have a very colonized input, planned a puppet, that are saying that they're on the outside. But this is the first time in a long time where you've had this many countries in Africa who has an anti-colonial mentality to the point of saying, oh, if you come, we're ready. Like, so it gives us a sense of hope, but at the same time, just learning the backstory of what was taking place in Niger, that there's a U.S. drone base there in Niger. Yep. And when you think about America having almost 800 military bases abroad, right? And with the military base that they're looking to build in Ghana, and Ghana's response to what is taking place, and Nigeria's response, and all of this stuff. And these are people who are not operating with their own autonomy and agency. They're operating because they are puppets to primarily the United States and NATO to push. I mean, they're talking about the pipeline, that they're trying to stop the pipeline there now. That it's just, I've never been one who was real steeped in the international aspects of radicalism. Like, I've known some things, but this situation here has opened up my eyes in ways that it's just like, oh my God.
It's shown that there are a lot of countries that are still extensions of colonialism at this point. And part of that, you really can't blame some. Let me not say that. I'll just say that you're between a rock
and understanding. I understand why they're there.
Yep. Because there is a heavy global influence, political influence, resourceful influence that keeps a lot of these African politicians from doing the right thing. But let's not get it twisted. As a Nigerian, I know that there are a lot, I cannot understate, a lot of corrupt politicians that pad their pockets at the expense of everyday people. Like in Nigeria, for example, the average monthly income is $234 a month.
I don't think people heard you say that. The average monthly income, $234.
That is correct. And that's, matter of fact, that's as of 5 years ago. It's very possible that it's gotten worse. It is, most of Africa is becoming slowly but surely a have and have not continent, a have and have not country.
Oh my God.
Either you have all the resources or you
or
don't
you have any, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. And
all
I can't
or nothing.
Understate
nothing. All or nothing economy. Beautiful.
So watching this happen, it gave me some hope, though. Like I said, seeing this, because, you know, they tried to assemble those willing countries of the African Union, sure, to say, okay, we're going to stand up and support Niger. But then, like I said, these extensions of colonization, these puppets, it's got me with mixed feelings, man. I've been having a hard time trying to battle with this whole thing, man.
It's really hard to back it. And I think it's hard to back it for also understanding how the United States and NATO, right, responds typically to these particular things. Thanks. Right? Immediately, the propaganda was on all of the major news media here stating that Niger was in a state of collapse, right? Painting this picture that it's complete chaos there. But then when you go on other social media avenues, you see the people in Niger rejoicing in the middle of the street.
Facts.
For
I
this.
Give you that.
Then you see the larger political game that's taking place, where the influence of Russia and China in Niger, how
in
they
Africa,
both
period.
Came in Africa in general, right? How that is playing a role. And it's, again, it is such a, if Black people are not beginning to open their eyes to a larger global system that is influencing what takes place here, the same way as, and it crushes this, you know, African versus African American stupid ass war
that we always have.
It's like, yo, listen.
Yep.
Them motherfuckers are not the enemy. The motherfucker enemy is, you know.
But I think it's hard for us to understand that it's hard for many people to understand that we aren't the enemy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that we aren't the enemy to ourselves. That there is a bigger monster that's right around the corner. It's not about us, whether or not you eat your loaf or you eat fucking grits. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really so much more than that. And we haven't been able to embrace that because of, once again, the monster that's been around the corner, either colonizing us. I'll give you an example. There's so many people, through this debate, I've heard so many conversations about the corruption in Africa and how this has happened and how, you know, the colonization or colonialism has left Africa in many instances a long time ago. And I say to myself, at least, Nigeria was the first country to get its independence in Africa. That happened in 1960, October of 1960. My parents are in their 60s now.
That
they
was
were
only
born
a couple years ago, ladies and gentlemen.
So we don't know anybody that was born in the 60s. That's essentially somebody sitting in your home and then finally saying, you know what, I'm going to leave and I'm going to give you the keys back. Now you can fend for yourself. After they've taken everything out of the country.
Everything.
Everything that they can get their hands on out of the country, out of your house.
They've robbed you of the plumbing, the resources.
Everything.
You don't have electric.
They've taken the
copper
out of the wall.
The Wi-Fi, everything.
And
so they leave
you
in that state.
And now, fend for yourself.
Only recourse at that moment is either A, try to get it from the mud by yourself, which is incredibly difficult.
Difficult.
Or when them same motherfuckers come knocking on the door 10 years later and saying, hey, you know what? Let me give you a couple of things. I'll give you a couple of things. You know, I'll give you your Wi-Fi back. I'll give you your water back and all those things. Mm-hmm. But when you mine for the gas, we want most of it.
Yeah. And not on top of that, you're going to have to give me money so that I can give you access to that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, and guess what? In return, we'll give you guys jobs too.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And we got a leader for you, too, by the way.
Lots of jobs.
Facts.
Except this. Yeah. We got a leader for you. Except this light skinned dude.
We've got somebody that can be
career guy to
help you put in place.
Oh, my God.
To come watch over you guys and make these decisions.
Everything. Yeah. We have thousands of jobs for all of you and your children.
Oh my God.
So for the listeners, if you're listening, when you're paying attention to this story and you begin to hear about African countries not supporting what Niger is doing, it should be a spark to ask you to look deeper. What do they have to lose?
Facts.
If they support Niger? Who is influencing them? Just take a brief cursory glance at their particular history. I mean, when I saw that Ghana was wavering, wishwashing, and I saw where Nigeria was, it was like, oh, okay, makes total sense based off of their political history. Now, does it make me feel good? Absolutely not. But at the same time, it gives me an understanding of the larger geopolitical scene, not only within Africa, but across the world. Yeah. We're sitting here thinking about China and all the bullshit that America's doing with China. But no one paid attention to last week when America decided that they were going to send, how many billions to Taiwan, who is in deep conflict with China? Like, brother, shit is madness.
It is, man. And this label of pan-Africanism goes a lot further than social media.
Oh, it goes long further than Garvey and things along those lines. It's so deeper than that, man.
Far deeper.
But you notice how Trump has seized the headlines, right? With the indictment and the charges, the recent charges. He has now moved this story to the back
I give you
but
that.
I won't let it. No, I give you that.
And we appreciate you for that, man.
Fuck Trump. You're future president of 2024, by the way.
Crush, what you got next, man?
Hold on. Sean, am I correct that even if he is indicted and or arrested, he still can be voted in as president of the United States?
That is correct. You can indict a ham sandwich. So unless he gets arrested and goes to jail, which nobody believes is going to happen.
No.
So,
and we've actually had someone run for president from jail, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. And what's funny is that even with all of these indictments, the fourth one that he'd gotten at this point within this past week or whatever.
Yeah.
He is still leading the Republican polls in every poll. I know.
But he is leading.
Staggering mountains of stupidity out there. Man.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Listen, staggering he is leading. Of stupidity. Biden's leading numbers are going down.
Of stupidity and ignorance.
They think about it. Now, him and Biden are almost neck and neck. Trump in like a general poll is beating him percentage points. But that says a lot that you've been president for damn near 4 years, have a quote unquote record to run on, and yet someone who is ready to go to jail is still beating you across the board. But Crush, what do we have next?
Guess who's back?
Yeah, let me shift the mood, please.
This motherfucking depressing ass Elgin. Go ahead, Crush.
Let me shift the mood, please, because I had to talk about this because of course it's near and dear to my heart, and it's very timely considering I'm attending a very very exciting event this Saturday. But if you haven't been watching, various music media outlets and entertainment outlets, it is the 50th anniversary of hip hop music and culture. I myself was born in 74, the same year that this culture of mine was conceived. Although I was down here, not in Sedgwick, in the Bronx. It's been great seeing the performances here and there, seeing footage of all the different legends performing across the country, and seeing all the interviews and all the archival footage of different things that happened. And it definitely made me very nostalgic, of course. But of course, took a hard look at where we are now, and it's hard to believe that we're here now. That that what KRS said, and I'm still number one. Is actually happening. 50 years later, we'll be the old school rappers and shit.
So, you know, I just had to ask you guys, you know, what does, you know, the 50th anniversary of this genre, this culture of ours born here, you know, in these very specific conditions in this country. I'm gonna keep it positive right now before we get critical, but I'd like to see, you know, what would you guys say are your best memories attached to hip hop culture and music?
Yeah, I think for me, just watching hip hop matching almost my exact age, right? That we're a year apart, right? Hip hop's a year older than I am, but just watching how I've grown in so many different ways via hip hop, right? That I remember going through different phases in life with my maturity, when I was introduced to Two Live Crew for the first time, and that sexual aspect of rap meeting me at puberty, right? And then, you know, gang violence, you know, NWA coming out, right? Then transitioning to the war on drugs, the early 90s, where, you know, Coogee sweaters. I've never had a fucking Coogee sweater, but, you know, rappers, you know, all those things, but just matching my own life. Yeah. And I think about certain moments where I can look back and say, damn, that was a great moment in hip hop.
Yeah.
That really brought it. For instance, for me, one of the great moments in hip hop here in probably the past, I'll say 5 years, was the Lox Dipset versus. Because again, to me, Jada embodied someone who I remember Jada being young on mixtapes, cutting his teeth with Biggie, to see him be an elder statesman and still come out and perform and show the young cats. The only mistake that he made is that he didn't drop an album immediately afterwards, but you know, that's okay. But to demonstrate that even he, at that age, this is how you do it. No rapping over vocals, none of that. Just straight bars. And so there's some hope with hip hop currently. I mean, there's an influx of dope MCs that are not rapping about the same thing. And dope female MCs. Like, I mean, and I'd be glad, hopefully, and that'd be one of the things that I hope for, that within the next 10 years, that frame of distinguishing rappers by gender goes away. That is not who's the best female MC or male MC. That is just like, yo, who's the best MC? Where does this particular person fall within that category? Just let me be progressive, bro. Don't frown your face. Like, God, you're so chauvinistic. You're misogynistic.
I know. I'm just Nigerian.
Because you spend all your time watching a lot of videos I do. It's okay.
Good memories. Good memories, man. Good memories.
Listen, man, I think one of the things that gets me is that, you know how our parents back in the day, they would say to us when they heard certain songs, like they remember where they were when they heard that song.
Mm.
That's the way I look at hip hop. Like, the first time I heard fucking Tribe Called Quest. Oh, seventh grade. I remember.
I was like, who is this?
My guy. What's funny is that it was like a white boy named Philip in my class, and you thought that the way he acted, he was completely.
Like he was black. Yeah.
Yeah, he was not Phil. He was Philip. Philip. Yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah. Indeed, Philip. I was like, you would think that he grew up around all black people, and he was the one that introduced. Like I said, when I was a kid, my parents, we weren't listening to church music or the news. I wasn't listening to shit on the radio. And he was like, well, I got this tape for you. Take it for a week and bring. I got this tape for you. Listen to it and bring it back to me next week. And I said, "This is what is this? This is not what my parents like me to listen to."
But think about it too, man. When you see current rappers, right? You remember their first appearance. So when I'm seeing Busta Rhymes and elderly Busta Rhymes,
Jesus Christ.
And I remember watching Busta for the first time in the Scenario video, right? And just
18 goddamn years old. Can you imagine? 18 years old Busta.
Energy.
Life and energy. Like the whole world was his oyster at that point. I remember
thinking, like, man, he's not going to last very long. But
this nigga Elgin is terrible.
Look, this nigga is terrible.
if I were to zero in on my experience on that Busta Rhymes side of things, because my experience is 30 years deep. Started when I was 13. Everything shifted for me when I was 17. But Busta Rhymes is special for a few reasons. For one, this was, 90, 91, when I became aware of a group called Leaders of the New School.
Leaders of the New School.
And I remember them because I'm a terrible nerd with this music shit, guys. I remember Leaders of the New School as a name, as a shout out on the Tribe's first album. I remember those credits because I'm like, I saw all these names. I'm like, who are these niggas? The Rhythm Kids, L-O-N-S, Brand Nubian. Who are these niggas? Cam, who are these niggas? Like, what the fuck is all, who are all these niggas? Like, these names sound cool as shit.
But
next thing you know, a group comes out with this name. I'm like, wait, that was a group? It's four dudes? And everyone kept saying, Cold Crush this, Cold Crush that. Mind you, my reference for Cold Crush, I was a baby. So I'm like, I heard about it. I remember some references, but when I heard them, the thing that got me was the energy. Yeah. I was like, holy shit. Then the lyrics, I'm like, what the? And then Busta, first thing, and mind you, not long after this, I met a certain MC that some of you might be familiar with, named Cannabis. He and I actually bonded over Busta Rhymes because we immediately knew he was Jamaican.
Oh yeah.
We immediately knew he was Jamaican.
It was clear.
We immediately knew he was Jamaican. I was like, that is one of my brethren right there. I mean, we even tried to look up his family back home. We heard the last name. So like, you know, Busta Rhymes for me was like, and then when we heard the whole story about LONS, he got his name from Chuck D. I mean, man, brother, you were born to rap.
Yeah, right.
Born. You were conceived to rhyme.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying?
You know, Busta Rhymes is really, you know, L-O-N-S, Tribe, the whole, you know, that whole graduating class of 90, you know, for me was formative in a lot of ways. You know, one thing that I try to get across when it comes to, you know, my love and passion for this culture is that, you know, I am still a futurist with this shit. I don't want to dwell on the past. You know what I'm saying? As nostalgic as I might want to be, I know we can't stay here. And I remember what the 90s told me, in essence, with every group. Be yourself. Be original. And try new shit. That's what they all told me. Prince
Back
Paul, Daylight,
so many
Tribe,
different
brand new. Main Source, OC, Diamond D,
all of them.
EPMD, all those guys told me, yo, look, be you, and try, you know, 90s inspired and instilled in me a necessary need for experimentation and edification. You know, and as a producer, I think, you know, as a hip-hop producer, and I will call myself that proudly at 49 years of age, I think my particular genre, my particular craft is probably the most edifying when it comes to music, because through the act and the practice of digging through records, I, you know, intentionally and unintentionally inform myself about the world of music.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Looking for this, looking for that. Then I'm discovering artists. I'm discovering the globe, the history of music through being just a beat maker for hip hop.
Yeah, I dig it.
That is unique to this.
Yeah, I dig it.
No other genre does this. And so when you look at producers like Diamond D and Easy Mo B, you're looking at guys with decades of musical knowledge and history, not just about rap.
Yeah.
The globe. These guys sample the globe.
But right about now is the time we like to give you little tidbits of news or words of wisdom that you can take with yourself into the week. Crush, what's up, man? You got to make it good. You're just getting back. You can't just lay down some fluff shit.
Okay. I mean,
I'm just messing with you. Go ahead, bro.
I know, you know, I missed y'all. I missed the show. I missed my brothers here. I'm just glad we're back. And I guess the only thing I can say is that, you know, I just also had a fantastic family reunion recently, this past month. And, you know, it felt very different without my parents there, without a lot of my relatives there. So you know, I would just tell everyone, you know, make your efforts to reinforce your connections. you know, remind yourself, you know, remember that, you know, time isn't your friend and that, you know, you're keep your family as close as possible. You know, just you know, try and stay in touch. You know, you're going to need each other when you all turn gray.
Oh, what's up, man?
Well, I want to say, give a big shout out to Walmart, man, who is giving out free school supplies to anyone who can outrun security. So I suggest you.
This motherfucker, Elgin is back in full effect, man. God damn, this motherfucker,
man. Jesus Christ, man.
I guess Walmart will never be a sponsor of this fucking show.
Ever, man. Not ever, man. I'm trying to make this thing marketable, brother, man.
National Grand, baby.
We got a pitch deck, man. I'm trying to get on iHeartRadio, nigga.
You know what's so messed up? I was this close to asking the nigga, for real? Like, where's this only in Philly? Like, what's
good? I know, it's like not Walmart.
Not knowing this dude was... He was on his ski mask shit. God damn.
I know, man. Jeez.
God damn it. He pulled down the balaclava, boy.
I know, man.
This motherfucker.
A little bit of South Philly had to come out somewhere.
No bullshit.
We in the building.
What's up for me this week, man, is just having conversations with your kids, man. This summer has been an interesting one because my kids have been stuck with us and not in camp for the first time in a long time and haven't gone to go see their aunts and uncles and stuff like that. But it has opened a door for me to sit down and have real conversations with my children. And these are conversations, honestly, and not disparagingly, that my parents never had with me. Like, I actually talked to my children about predators. And especially if you're like meeting people within the quote unquote friends of the family and family members that could possibly be these dangerous people. And it was an emotional moment because I was having this conversation with my daughter and explaining to her how these things happen and how I want her to know that she has always an open door to come and talk to me regardless of what the situation is, and that she doesn't have to be afraid, because I know many people that are victims, especially kids, are afraid to voice it because they don't want to break up the family. They don't want to cause a mess. They don't want to do X, Y, and Z. And I told her, I said, your job is to tell me. I will take the slings and arrows. I'll burn down the world after the fact. I don't want you to have to deal with that. And she cried and she hugged me, and I tried my hardest not to cry, and I cried and I hugged her back. And it was just like I said, having these conversations with your kids, even when they're uncomfortable, because it was a fucking uncomfortable conversation, but even having these uncomfortable conversations and being open with the people. So just do your part, man, as much as I can say. Grush, where can folks find you if they want to find you, man?
Man, you can find me.
We've been gone for a while, so you gotta, you know, gotta remind them.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, you guys can check out a bunch of new clips of a bunch of new beats and tracks I have up on my Instagram page at SP Methods.
Okay, no doubt. L, where can folks find you?
Not McDonald's, because they're not going to sponsor this shit.
You shouldn't
eat their burgers.
I thought around the corner with my mask on, nigga. God damn.
A recent rebrand is more appropriate for L right now.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Listen, man.
Because he's living that lifestyle right now.
All day. Free meat.
Find him on X.com. Find L on X.
Bang, bang, bang.
Find L on the X.
Just
find me on the X.
You said, hold up. How are you tutelaging Jason? But to get paid and get the bag, but you're out here giving out free meat?
Yo, listen, bro. As long as his bag and others are coming in, bro, I'm good. I'm eating great, bro.
The site is called X.com. What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah. It's actually
Elgin, give the folks your handle, my guy, and tell them where they can find you. Shit.
Pornhub, X-Videos.
Now you can find him on Blacked.
It's X.com, man. It's not Twitter anymore.
at Elgin Bailey on all them joints. But no,
it's not Twitter.
At Elgin Bailey on all social media platforms.
No doubt, man. And I'm Big O, Mr. In the Black himself. You can find me on Twitter and on Instagram at MR_InTheBlack. And I want to thank you guys for joining us for another incredible episode of the In the Black podcast. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you chose to kick it with us, and we appreciate it. Make sure you follow us across social media at In the Black PDCST on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. Come on over to our Patreon and join the family. You will not regret it. And you can always check out past episodes of our show at our website, www.intheblackpodcast.com. But as always, until next time, informed, intelligent, in the black.
In the black.
Black.
Peace.
Peace.
Be back.
This is the In the Black podcast.
In the black, bro. Hands down, one of the best podcasts I ever heard, though. I love y'all. Word. Brethren, what up? I'm Brother Black up here, Brethren. Listen. In the Black podcast, they y'all lad, it's all facts. You don't like that, then fall back. In the Black podcast, don't talk trash. Switch fast if you ain't raw, then go whack. Informed, intelligent elements, always relevant. Not for the weak and delicate. This is eloquent excellence. We are setting the precedence. Rest of them are excrement. In the Black podcast, the truth like the testament. Don't know, Black up here, bro, man, a specialist. Know what the podcast broadcast, y'all best with this. Like said, them a cheat, who no do it so effortless. I listen, them I learn, when them listen, them I benefit. Reporting current events, everything that is prevalent. This is so exquisite, a scientific experiment. Giving you the news, not views without evidence. Telling you the truth, sentiments without embellishments. Relax, these are the facts, bringing them to your residence. In your house or your tenement, listen to hear intelligence. Body filled with melanin, power that's so acetylene. Bright in the stars, bringing some light back to the desolate. In the Black podcast, that your land is all facts. You don't like that, then fall back. In the Black podcast, they pan tap. Who if you watch Black up here, chat me, young flap. In the Black podcast, that your land is all facts. You don't like that, then fall back. In the Black podcast, we all lost. The whole of them can, none of them can trust. Yeah.
This is